Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
2023, you guys, and I'm winging it. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. That's the website, The Dork Forest, if you like a determiner. Dorkforest.com also works. JackieCation.com has all of my stand-up information. Like, it has videos, it has pictures, it has links to this podcast and to my other podcast with Lori Kilmartin. It has a merch store that has Dork Forest t-shirts. It has all of my stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs. So, that's what you know about websites. There's an opportunity, because we're in the new year here, that you can donate to the Dork Forest. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have anything really set up, though I understand you can set up on PayPal a monthly if you wanted to. You could donate and be of to support the show. This is the 17th season, the 17th year I've been putting this stuff out. It's free, but if you have money and would like to throw me some money, boy, howdy. There's a PayPal. There is at my email address, actually, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me and tell me how much you're enjoying the show. You can also do Venmo if you'd like, which is just Jackie Cation, no hyphen, all one word, picture of this person, me. And then I think that's it. I think I have Zelle, but it's too complicated. Other than that, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady, still in, fixing the audio all these years later. Give it up to Patrick Brady. That's what a lot of your donations support, by the way, because I like to share the wealth. And then Vilmos, he does the websites. And Mike Rickberg wrote and sang that song. Composed and sang that song with his wife now, Sarah. And at the end, he sings the Mexican Hat Dance, which is always fun. Anyway, I'm sure there's more to it. There's a band camp that has a bunch. It has like a stand-up storytelling album that was never released. It's there's also a bunch of live episodes that many of them are free. There were 200 episodes that were not pre-recorded, and I sort of culled through those, and I pulled like 17 of the best ones. There's an album collection of that, 17 hours of Dork Forest. If you run through all of the episodes, go to bandcamp.com, Dork Forest, or Google those words, and you'll find it. Anyway, there's probably more. I can't remember any of it, but you're doing great. Feel free to enjoy the show.
Hey, Jackie Cation, I whisper at you, Rangers of the Dork Forest. I don't know why. I'm in my garage, and I'm here with Gerard Peters, who also has other names and his own podcast. Gerard Peters, by the way, his podcast is called Fuck, Marry, Kill Me Pod. And yeah, it's going to be wherever you find podcasts. FMKMEFPOD. So FMKMEPOD on Instagram. And Gerard Peters, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about this.
I know it. Well, it's time. It's your time to shine, my friend. It's your time to dork out as you wish about something that I know a little bit about, but not a lot about. So, Howard the Duck?
Yeah, Howard the Duck. I have a tattoo on my forearm of Howard the Duck.
Oh my God, you do. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's got an attitude, that duck. But you know, he's a duck in a man's world. So what are you gonna do?
In a world he never created. I fell in love with Howard the Duck on The Bachelor. No, I fell in love with Howard the Duck about 10 years ago, when it was me and my Uncle Tom and my brother were sitting around discussing the best Marvel characters.
Okay.
And my uncle was like, well, Galactus is the best because he's all powerful and he's so strong. My brother probably says something to the tune of like, well, you know, Spider-Man is probably the biggest, the most well-known. And in the moment, I thought it would be very funny to say Howard the Duck.
Okay.
And it got a big laugh. And, sure. You know, I
love that you don't actually remember what anybody else said.
You're no, like, not at all.
No. Going for
it
the
was
laugh.
A defining moment in my life, if I'm being honest. It changed a lot of things for me. But yeah, they laughed. I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, well, I got to learn as much as possible about Howard the Duck now.
this. That's absurd, but I love it. I love that you're like, I'm going to commit to this joke, and I'm going to say, yes, Howard the Duck is the great. Okay, so Howard the Duck, I know, comes from a parallel universe or in the multiverse where the sentient main character being are ducks.
Yes.
So he didn't make the that world either. God did. The Jesus.
No.
The Jesus duck.
Duck did. Jesus.
Duck Jesus. Oh, where is that comic book? Yes.
It's coming. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Neil Gaiman is writing, I think. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Oh, no, I'm writing it right now. I have to go. Okay. So, So tell people, I mean, people might have seen Howard the Duck in some of the movies, but.
Okay.
And
let's start at the beginning.
Yeah, please
let's start all the way at the beginning. So. Howard the Duck was summoned from Duck World by a character called Throg the Netherspawn and dropped in the Florida Everglades.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
This was Howard the Duck's first appearance was, I can't remember the title, but he's basically summoned from Duck World and dropped in the Florida Everglades.
By Throg. If you could just tell people who Throg is real quick, because Throg is hilarious.
I don't know that much
Thor
about Throg.
Thor Frog.
Oh, it's Thor Frog.
That's all you need to know. I don't need to know Thor Frog's background. We're getting Howard the Duck's background.
Yeah,
but
I don't know much about Throg, to be honest.
Well, I can't believe. Well, he's also in the Pet Avengers. But the thing is, Throg brought Howard the Duck.
Yes. Summoned him from Duck World, dropped him in the Florida Everglades, and Howard the Duck ran into Man-Thing.
Okay.
And that was like Howard the Duck's first adventure.
Because, you know, the fear, it's Man-Thing has a fear thing, right? It's so you can't be afraid.
Yes.
Okay.
So they Man-Thing and Howard the Duck pal around for like an issue or two.
Okay.
And then Howard the Duck gets killed. Basically, he gets killed off for the sake of the story.
Wow.
And the fans go insane. There's like they start writing letters to the Marvel offices. There's like kind of a legendary tale of a San Diego Comic Con where someone stands up and is like, when are you going to bring back Howard the Duck? And they got a standing ovation because people immediately like kind of fell in love with this cantankerous duck.
Right. How could you not? Essentially, it's Cerebus, but in the Marvel universe. And Cerebus, is that right? That's the aardvark, right? Who's all grumpy in a different comic book. Anyway, so Steve, I just looked it up because I thought it was a guy named Howard Chaykin. Am I wrong? The creator of...
Well, the initial writer, I think it might have been Chaykin was the initial writer of the comic that Howard the Duck appeared in, but Steve Gerber is kind of known as the godfather.
Who
created Howard the Duck and kind of fleshed him out.
Okay.
He's gone on record as saying the big joke of Howard the Duck is that there is no joke.
Right.
It's kind of an existentialist masterpiece.
It is genuinely. I remember because my introduction to comic books. I mean, I read Spider-Man in junior high, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I read the team ups, and then it was over. I was like, comic books, I'm done. And then I met one Andy Ashcraft to whom I am now married, and in 2003. He would hand me, he's like, you might like these. And then he just tried to get me in. And so eventually, Howard the Duck, like the first one was Alan Moore, top 10. And then it was Neil Gaiman, Lucifer. Wait, it wasn't. It was whoever wrote Lucifer, not Brubaker.
Ennis?
It wasn't Ennis. It was everything he writes I enjoy, but whoever he also wrote like he did high. Okay, now someone's yelling at their phone, going, "Jackie, I can't believe you forgot." But because he's a delight. Lucifer comic, gonna look it up real fast. We have time. Right, it was DC Comics. It was doop up up a deep a deep beep. Talk amongst yourself. There's only one of you. It was Mike Carey. Neil Gaiman created Lucifer in the Sandman in books, but Mike Carey did the did the separate. And I was introduced to the Lucifer books before I read the Sandman books because there were less of them. And Andy was like, I don't want to overwhelm.
Yeah, you gotta piecemeal it in.
Right. It's the potato knish of trying to get people to eat okra, whatever it is. But yes, so I read some, I think it was Howard Chaykin had written it was Chaykin. I don't know who it was. But so Steve Gerber created him in this man thing.
Steve Gerber kind of was like the overarching, you know, I guess he's like the Sugar Hill Gang of Howard the Duck, I guess is what you would say.
Hilarious. Like, I weirdly get that musical reference. Good for me.
But yeah, he kind of, you know, introduced like Turnip Man and Dr. Bong and the Beverly Switzler character, who is like his main companion, to put it in Doctor Who terms.
Do you think Steve Gerber smoked some marijuana? Do you think he enjoyed the Mary Jane?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's also like a lot of urban legends about him and Stan Lee like hating each other's guts, like fighting each other.
I bet Stanley seems like a real, I'm going to have a scotch on the rocks kind of guy instead of a Stony Magoo. So,
yeah. So, yeah, you know, and Howard the Duck, basically, like my favorite of the, I believe it's issue 2 of Howard, the original run of Howard the Duck, where Howard resides in Cleveland, much like he does in the movie. But I'll cover like the similarities and differences between the comic and the movie in a minute. But he in his second appearance, he falls through the cosmos and lands in Cleveland, in Earth 616's Cleveland, canonically.
Okay. All right.
So he kind of lives in Cleveland, and he's, you know, he's much more depressed than he is. Like, he's got moments of sadness in the movie, but he's a very depressed duck because, and my main thesis about Howard the Duck is, he has the best joke in all of Marvel comic books. Which is that no one can hang with the fact that he is a duck.
Like, right?
Every character that meets him is just like, loses their mind at a talking duck, which means there is no Daffy Duck in the Marvel Universe. There is no Donald Duck in the Marvel Universe. There is no previous reference of a talking duck where anybody would be like, oh, okay, this is cool.
Right, but there are other animals, but for some reason they keep losing their mind that a duck is one of them.
Yeah, they lose their minds. It's hilarious because, like, if you play it out, like, you know, Doctor Strange, who takes acid like it's his job and like looks into the universe, is like he like loses it every time. He's like, you're a talking duck. And it kind of adds to this ennui that Howard the Duck has. so much so that in the second, I believe it's the second issue, it might be the third, he goes up to fight the cosmic accountant Pro Rata, but he's going up to a castle top to kill himself because he just doesn't want to exist in the world anymore.
Right. And why can't he get back home?
I mean, he just lives in Cleveland. There's not a lot of opportunities.
Once you come to Cleveland, it is hard to get out of Cleveland.
There's been instances of him sending him home.
Okay.
But it's very rare. Like, there's like a recurring character who like once a week canonically tries to like use magic to send Howard back to Duck World. But it's always like, you know, they bring in some other entity and then Howard the Duck's like, whack, and we've got to fight him. and then they come back next week and they try again.
What are Howard the Duck's qualities? Like, is he a superhero in his own world?
He's not a superhero in his own world.
He's literally just a duck in a suit.
Yeah, he's just kind of a dude. His parents are named, what do I have here? I know it's like, I think it's Daniel and Dottie is what his parents' names are.
Okay.
He's just kind of a dude. He's just kind of a dude on Duck World. There's a reality flip at one point where Howard is a human and everybody else is like animals. And everyone's like, you're a human? So, like, the joke even works in the opposite. Like, so it's something in the fabric of the Marvel reality.
Yeah. That he's just such a unique, that nobody can wrap their mind around Howard is the real issue. That's the real issue.
Yeah. I think it's a great representation of just depression.
That's what I think it might be. Do you remember, is it Crumb who writes the indie comics? The guy, the Cleveland comic book writer. I did an episode with Andy Kindler, and that's all he reads is depressing, sad sack indie comics and this guy was his favorite comic book writer. And he's super sad sack. And Harvey Pekar, that was it. Harvey Pekar.
Oh yeah, I've read Harvey Pekar. Yeah, that is a bummer.
Yeah, that guy's a bummer, and and I think that Howard the Duck is the Marvel Universe's answer to Harvey Pekar. 100%.
Well, I agree. I think honestly, in my eyes, and this might be a pretty bold claim, but with no Howard the Duck, there is no Sandman, there is no Watchmen, like, because Howard the Duck is the first.
What year
Golden
was that?
Age comic book. 1975 was the original run, but he appeared before that.
Oh, he did. That was his first solo run.
That 1975 is the first Gerber run.
Okay, when was the Man Thing episode? When was the Throg?
I want to say that's like 1973 or 1974. Okay. I mostly focus my attention on the Gerber run.
Sure.
Like, that's where I've probably done most of my independent research on this thing that I could have a thesis in if I went to college.
Right, right. If you wanted it to be something, it's unusual features. I just need when he was introduced, Marvel Wiki fandom. Occupation, education, base of operations, Sharon King's building in Brooklyn. That's interesting.
You're thinking, I think that's the Zdarsky run. In modern times, he moves to New York.
October
and he's a private detective.
Okay, October of 1973 looks like his name was revealed. And September of 1973, he was in something called Fear Number 19, which sounds like a Man Thing title.
That's the Man Thing.
Okay, so 1973, he's invented. And when was the movie? Was it the late 70s?
The movie was 1986.
86. You know, I've never seen the movie.
I actually just rewatched it two nights ago, specifically for this. Now, as a diehard comic fan, I actually don't really like the movie. It's very similar to are you familiar with the Wanted comic book and the Wanted movie?
No, I can do 100 bullets. No, I can't do, or Preacher.
Well, Preacher is like a pretty comics accurate representation from what I've seen. But like there's definitely like they kind of pick and choose a lot of the things from Howard the Duck and put it in the movie. One of the main writers whose name is escaping me right now of the movie said something along the lines of like, he's a duck from outer space. It's not an existentialist experience. It's supposed to be fun.
Oh,
even though
wow.
He's not from outer space, he's from a parallel universe, but whatever.
Right, right. That is weird.
It makes me mad. I'm going to get mad if I start talking too much about it. It makes me furious.
Because you didn't, you are a purist and truly enjoy the comic book.
I do, it is funny to make fun of Howard the Duck, right? Also, Howard the Duck, first Marvel character ever to be theatrically released in color. The only thing that came out before it in theaters was the 1944 Captain America.
Okay, all right.
And that was a serial, that wasn't even just and it's actually the first feature-length Marvel film of all time, so you're welcome, Favreau.
Okay, wait, I thought it was... I thought there was a terrible Doctor Strange movie that was on TV.
There is, but that was a TV movie.
Ah, there
Same
you go.
Same thing with the Captain America movie from the 1970s is a TV movie. Howard the Duck is the first Marvel theatrical
release. There we go. Okay. Yeah. So, All right. So he's... So there's, are you currently reading Howard the Duck?
I read a lot of the Zdarsky run. I keep a complete collection pretty close to me at all times. Sometimes I hand them out like a Jehovah's Witness with a tract. If somebody's like, Howard the Duck, what a joke. I'm like, here you go.
Right.
Read this,
so
my child.
Right. So you're, so you have the, so you have trades that you keep to hand out. I have the same thing. I have a couple that I, Bitch Planet by Kelly Sue DeConnick. I'll hand that one out. Red, White, and Black, the Black Captain America. Mm-hmm. I'll hand that one out. That one's pretty great. So what's your trade that you hand out when people are like, I don't know, Howard the Duck?
I mean, I like to just give them the entire Gerber run, the essential collection, which is I want to say 1 through 30.
Is it one of those thick ones that's in black and white?
Yeah.
Those are hard to, you know, if you're going to be pushing comic books on people.
Oh, no, like I get the ones from, you know, I get the ones from like Barnes and Nobles that are all in a collection. It's impossible to find basically a Howard the Duck number one. And they're like one of the more valuable comics because in the initial run, they had no faith in Howard.
No.
So they only
printed
the minimum.
They?
I mean, because they're wrong. No.
Yeah, fair enough. It's,
They did the minimum. They printed 275,000 copies, and they were all sold out basically the same day. There's a story of a guy who goes to each newsstand and buys the bulk, ended up with like 900 copies of edition one.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
And so, is still living off of that or possibly?
Probably.
Hopefully.
I mean, possibly. I mean, it, because they've printed so few and it's, you know, a highly shit upon character, but very well known. It's still got a lot of its value.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's so. I mean, I forget. I think the producer of the Howard the Duck movie was the guy who produced. Yeah, no, Gloria Katz. That's not who I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking
it was
of
Lucas. George Lucas was the main executive producer.
Okay, because I have director William Huck. H-U-Y-C-K, so hoik.
Mm-hmm.
It cost $36 million to make. It made $38 million. Yep. That's not
successful.
Bad.
Successful. That's $2 million. Yeah. That's a $2 million
exactly.
profit.
Exactly. But there was so George Lucas was the executive producer. There was one of the producers was a guy named who was the Patton Oswalt used to do a bit about the producer of The Godfather, and I thought that he had something to do with Howard the Duck. I have just weeded off into a very weird episode. This makes sense though, because it's an episode about Howard the Duck. You guys, it's going to be a weird one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it for the boy. That's a song from Footloose. That's not what I'm thinking of. It's the producer of The Godfather, maybe, is what I'm sure somebody else is also yelling at their phone right now. Nope, not Albert Ruddy. That's not who I'm thinking about.
Let's see. I mean, what's crazy about the movie is it also like. It's the first movie to use wires and edit those wires out. So once again, there is no Matrix movies without Howard the Duck.
Okay. Yeah. Because was it live action?
It was. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be. It was supposed to be animated.
Right.
But George Lucas had a contract and he had to make a live action film. So the studio was like, make it live action. And then he spent $2 million on a duck costume.
I mean, here's the crazy thing about George Lucas is, has he ever gone back and made Howard the Duck shoot first? Has he done anything? Has he gone back and retconned it at all?
No, because I don't think his ex-wife took Howard the Duck in the divorce, which was the main reason he did those in the 1990s.
Oh, really? Is that why he redid the Star Wars?
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you change enough stuff, it counts as a new release. And then she didn't get any of the royalties off of it.
You would think, as a bit of a Star Wars nerd, that I would have known that. And yet I did not know that. I have always joked that I wish he would go back and fix American Graffiti. Which usually offends everyone who loves American Graffiti with the power of the sun. And
well, if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the writers from American Graffiti is also one of the writers of Howard the Duck. Let me just check my references. Let me check my sources here.
Okay.
But I know that like some of the creative team behind American Graffiti is also behind Howard the Duck.
Every time I see Howard the Duck in a comic book, he's got a new girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I also play something called Marvel Puzzle Quest, and there's a storyline in one of the fights in Marvel Puzzle Quest where Spider-Man asks him for help because it's a weird story, but you might enjoy this story because it has Howard the Duck in it. Mm-hmm. And Howard the Duck seems to have some sort of martial arts skills.
Quack Fu, this. Yeah.
Is it Quack Fu?
Yes, Quack Fu. He's a master of Quack Fu.
Okay, well then he does have some superpowers.
Yes, he's a master of Quack Fu. He learned this on Duck World, predating his appearance on Earth 616.
Okay,
but yeah, he's a master of Quack Fu. But like Quack Fu is kind of like karate, like it's a martial art technically,
right?
But it doesn't do him a whole lot of good since all of his opponents are at least 3 feet on him and a lot more range.
Right. He's got to get in close. He's got to get in real close because he doesn't have reach. He has duck reach.
Yes.
What about, and he wears a fedora. I always think of him as more of a kind of a Batman character where he's smart. Like he's an investigator, isn't he?
He's very smart. He's got a lot of time to think, right? He's a very lonesome character kind of by nature since no one can really hang with him. So he ends up kind of like striking out on his own in most endeavors. There are some pretty great team ups he's done, like in the Amalgam comics where they crossed over Marvel and DC.
Okay.
He became Lobo the Duck, which is the DC character Lobo, which is very much like a Deadpool character, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah,
I don't know Lobo. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very 90s Lobo. Lobo is like kind of if you drew like a 90s character from memory. He's got like big spiky hair and tribal tattoos and he says things like, "Yeah, I'll get you, dude," or whatever, you know.
Okay.
And they decided Howard the Duck
was the one. Someone has to say that.
Somebody has to say it.
Oh, by the way, I am talking with Gerard Peters, whose screen name says Dean. But other than that, it's Gerard Peters. He has a podcast called Fuck, Marry, Kill Me Pod. And you can follow them with your co-host. Her name is Kayla Rosenberg.
Yes.
Is that right?
Kayla Rosenberg, okay. A good friend of mine.
FMK Me Pod on Instagram. It'll be in the notes. And your Instagram individually is GDP. As in Gerard Dean Peters, I assume, comedy.
Yes.
It's GDP Comedy on Instagram and Gerard Peters talking to me about Howard the Duck, you guys. By the way, we're going to take a little break here. There might be an ad. Look forward to it. And then tell me if it was something if it was exciting for you. Did you like it? Did it happen? We don't know. All right. Talk to me, Gerard Peters, about more Howard the Duck.
So now I want to kind of transition more into what everybody knows, which is the movie.
Okay.
I have some thoughts about that. Quickly, I just want to talk about how Howard the Duck ran for president in 1976.
Oh, did he?
And got the most write-in votes up until, what's his name, ran. Ron Johnson. Who's that guy that everybody liked in like 2012?
Ross Perot?
No.
Okay.
Ron. He was like.
It might have been
like
Ron
a weirdo libertarian. Everybody liked him, but I don't care about him. I care about Howard the Duck running for president in 1976. So in the movie, there are like one of the main things that people. First off, the duck costume, $2 million. That is
okay. That $2 million for the costumes.
$2 million for the costumes.
What made it $2 million?
The animatronics.
Okay.
Because the duck mouth, they tried to get the duck mouth to move in. They originally mic'd up the actor.
Yeah.
And they were going to use that, but they ended up having to do ADR after the fact because it just, like, they couldn't get good audio from inside the suit.
Okay.
For $2 million. They couldn't put a microphone inside the suit, I guess.
Additional dialogue recording, ADR, yes. Yeah. Okay. So.
I guess let's just talk about the fact that the first is this a clean podcast? I don't want to.
No,
I just talked
about Mary Fuck Kill You. Anyway.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, first off, as opposed to being summoned by Throg the Netherspawn.
Okay.
He gets teleported because of a big laser the president from Ferris Bueller shoots at him.
Oh, okay. So yeah, arbitrary. Okay.
Arbitrary. Also, right before he's about to jack off, he's like, what a long day. I'm about to jack off. And then he gets shot by a laser all the way to Earth.
Weird. This is a George Lucas film. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the tones of Howard the Duck, the movie, are so confused.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like they a huge amount of the fan base is adults. As well it ought to be, but it's also a talking duck movie produced by George Lucas, right? So we got to do stuff for the kids.
You would think that, I mean, that once George Lucas and a duck are involved, people are going to think it's going to be okay for kids, and then weird jerking off duck is going to be involved. Weird.
Yeah. Play okay. Duck, jerking off duck, weird animatronic duck titties.
Duck tits, duck boobs.
Yeah, there's duck tits, there's duck boobs. Within the first, like, 3 minutes, there's duck boobs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are ducks mammals? I don't think ducks are mammals. They're avians, aren't they? They lay eggs.
They definitely don't. Yeah, they don't have.
They don't have boobs.
Mammary glands, I believe, in nature. But they also, like, evolved to have hands and fingers.
Okay.
And they don't.
Okay.
They don't really talk about. And what's weird is they could have, right? Because they're like, they showed duck boobs. There's masturbation illusions. Like. How do the ducks from Duck World fuck? I digress.
Yes. I'm surprised they didn't talk about it.
They just didn't spend a lot of time on Duck World. Well, they set it up for a sequel, but it never happened, obviously.
Right.
But I'm still holding out hope. I mean, the MCU is running out of properties, so they're going to have to eventually.
Yeah, they might. They've introduced him into the plot. Into the MCU, so he's in it, but in the George Lucas Howard the Duck, so he gets brought to Earth via laser beam.
Mm-hmm. The spectroscope, I believe, is what it's called.
And what end?
Well, they're trying to.
There's
map
no spoiler
the universe.
Alerts. This is 1,000 years old. This movie.
This movie
so
came out
okay.
in 1986.
Yes.
And if I honestly hope someone's like, I was just about to watch it. I was just about to watch Howard the Duck.
I might be just about to watch it just because I can't believe
don't.
I've never
just
seen
trust
it.
Trust me, don't. Don't.
It could
bad.
Be something.
It's very bad. I mean, one of the screenwriters was half of the screenwriting team from American Graffiti, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Howard the Duck. That's Gloria Katz.
Okay. She wrote Temple of Doom.
Yeah, Temple of Doom.
Wow. Okay, so there's trouble there.
There is trouble there.
Okay, so are there good scenes in Howard the Duck? Are there scenes that you enjoyed that they kind of almost got it or got it?
Well, I think
because you just rewatched it, right?
Yeah. There's definitely. I watched it honestly for the first time, not stoned to the point of. Like not being able to comprehend things. Like last time I watched it, I was so stoned that I was like, I wasn't even able to follow it.
Okay.
And I've quit smoking weed now, so I rewatched it to see
in an effort. Yes,
I made an effort. Right, gave it a shot. And there's actually like there's a decent amount of things that are similar to the original comic book. Mostly that when people run into Howard the Duck, they can't fathom the fact that he's a duck.
Okay.
Like on the bus. And
that gag makes it.
It's still there. Still made it. Number one gag in Marvel Comics. The best. Better than Deadpool. I'll say it. I don't care. Come after me.
Right. You love it.
Funniest thing in the world. So that happens. Quack Fu is in it.
Okay.
The fact that he wears pants where so many other anthropomorphized ducks don't is like...
Is that addressed?
That is addressed. At one point, the cops are like, take this little person out of a costume. And they disrobe him. And he's like, where are my pants? I need my pants.
Okay.
So that happens.
Yep. Sure. Why wouldn't it?
I guess, like, here's the thing. If you take the Howard the Duck movie and cut it in half, like, chop it up, and you make, like, a R-rated version and a version for, like, Cartoon Network Afternoon, separately, two very good movies.
Okay.
I honestly think, like, there's some very dark things, like, Leah Thompson's character, pardon me for it's a little bit of a trigger warning, but a lot of the male characters are aggressive with her. Horrible. Okay. Yeah. Like very horrible.
like sexual assault. Horrible.
Yeah. Like multiple times, multiple characters are like, come here, Beverly. Like it happens four or five different times within the film with four or five different characters doing this.
Holy shit. Okay.
And it's you know, Howard stops it and it's not like a monster situation, but like
it keeps happening.
It shows that Cleveland's a piece of shit place.
And Howard the Duck is a good guy.
No, I'm from Alabama, Cleveland? Which also sucks. I shouldn't throw stones, to be honest.
Well, it's hard. I've been to Cleveland and I've enjoyed parts of it. Parts of everywhere. I can find a Norman Rockwell tour of any place in the world. I've been to good parts of Alabama.
What Birmingham. Parts of Alabama have you been to? Oh, Birmingham is great.
Yeah, that was the good place I went to.
Yeah. I'm not from there.
Fair enough.
I'm from the peanut capital of the world, Dothan, Alabama.
Dothan. Well, Dothan. Do you enjoy a peanut?
I do. I enjoy a boiled peanut, which is a delicacy where I'm from.
So they, we will get back to Howard. How do you make a boiled? Can you make a boiled peanut when you buy peanuts?
You can, but unfortunately on this coast, it's very hard to find raw peanuts. Almost all peanuts are roasted because they don't travel well when they're raw.
So what you're doing is you're taking a peanut in the shell that's raw and boiling it?
Yeah, like hard boiling it.
And then you boil it with
salt. Yeah.
And then what happens? You open it up and eat it?
You crack them open, you eat the legume.
Excellent. Well.
It's delicious.
I have to try that. It's delicious. All right.
They're incredible.
Okay.
Big shout out to the Peanut Festival. If you're ever in Dothan, Alabama, leave immediately. But if you are there in early November... or late October, go to the Peanut Festival, chase
get some
a greased
peanuts
up pig.
On the way out of town. Just go get yourself some soft peanuts and then run. So that I love the idea that there's two movies in Howard the Duck. There's this weird
100%.
Howard the Duck is the support of some woman who keeps getting sexually assaulted. And then
And then there's like wacky him spinning on a ceiling fan, kicking all the patrons, you know.
Okay, fighting,
like doing kind of wacky antics, Pee-wee's Big Adventure kind of style, sort of like antics that he keeps getting into, but it's kind of just intersected with like someone being like, "I got to do blow all night and blow up this club," and then like the tone of it is like it's almost scene to scene, where you're like, "Oh, this is not a scene for the kids." Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That is fascinating. You're just and is it an hour and a half? Is it a 90-minute movie, do you
think? It's a 104-minute movie, yeah.
Wow. So if they cut it in half, it conceivably could be two TV shows.
100%.
Wow. So what is the takeaway message of his heroism in, like, does he get the girl in the end of the adult version?
Well... that's actually one of the scenes that is very criticized, rightfully so.
Okay.
But there is a scene between Leah Thompson's character, Beverly Switzler, and Howard where Howard's like, let me get in bed with you, Dollface. And Howard the Duck, the animatronic doll, I keep doing finger guns. I can't stop myself.
Well, we are talking about Howard the Duck.
Zing, zing, zing.
Yeah, he's wacky.
But he gets in bed with her, and then Leah Thompson's character kind of calls his bluff and is just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's make love right now. And Howard the Duck is like, no, I can't do it. And then the physical gag is his head feathers become erect to show that he has a boner, I guess.
Sure.
And that particular action cost the studio $350,000 and took 2 months to make.
I will say this about George Lucas. That guy will invent a suit. He will invent he's an FX guy, right? Which is why American Graffiti makes me laugh, because it doesn't have any FX in it. It's just old trucks from the 50s. So essentially it's, this was my high school and I always wanted to get with Cindy Williams and it didn't happen. So it's a bummer. And I wanted to meet Wolfman Jack and I missed it, man. And so I'm going to make this, you know, Bob's Big Boy Drive-In movie, and with Richard Dreyfuss. And so then he made Star Wars, and now he has the light show. Like, the guy can trip the light fantastic. He can make, he creates suits that he puts little people in. He has suits that he just is like, I'm going to spend $300,000 to figure out how we can make his, give him a mohawk. And that's just weird. That's going to be his legacy, really.
Yeah, six different little person actors played Howard the Duck in the movie.
Because it was suffocating? Why?
Yes, because they couldn't. Well, they wanted to have a child actor in the suit for some reason. They talked about this often. So they tried to have it where there was a child actor during the day and then a little person actor at night so they could do the night shoots, basically.
Right.
But, you know, something about torturing a child in a duck suit didn't fly well.
Right. There weren't enough parents who were willing to play that card. And when you think about the hour that is ducks jerking off and looking at boobs, I don't want a child in a duck suit. Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want that to be an adult human who happens to be very short. That's what I want.
Yes.
So that, I want an adult man to be in that suit if it's going to be inappropriate. What do you think was the takeaway plot for each of these movies though? Like if it
like
were
the
an
overarching
adult,
moral, the, like the end of South Park episode wrap up kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the wrap up on the adult side? What was the wrap up on the kid side? If such a thing could be found.
I think if it's the adult side, the moral is like kind of a very, it's a Frankenstein kind of situation where they're like, be careful what you use. Science has its limits. Don't play God or else you'll bring down a horny duck from outer space.
Right. And then you'll have to deal with that.
That is kind of the overarching adult theme, I would say. And then I would say like the overarching. Yeah. And then the overarching, I guess, children theme, I guess, would be like, you know, be friendly, like be a friend, you know, like if you need help, ask for it. You know what I mean? Because like Howard the Duck for a lot of the movie is like, I don't need anybody.
Right. Very Deadpool.
Yes.
And then at the end of the movie, does he end up having friends? In the kid
him
kind
and
of
Beverly
version?
Are friends, at least, and also the Tim Robbins character, or him and the Tim Robbins scientist, future Academy Award winner Tim Robbins.
I'm so glad future Academy Award winner Liam Neeson was in one of the worst movies I've ever seen 26 times, called High Spirits. I used to drink a lot, so but the weird thing is so. Does he, now, spoiler alert, you guys, Howard the Duck, 1986, does he get, in this movie, does he get to go back to his home planet?
No, the big climactic battle ends in him destroying the device that would allow him to go back.
Okay, because he has to destroy it to save the world or to save Beverly?
Yes. Yes. Okay. There are big, what are they called? Like dark, I believe the characters are called Dark Overlords of the Universe.
Okay, fair enough.
Which sounds like maybe could go other way. It might be a good guy, might be a bad guy, Dark Overlord of the Universe. But yeah, he has to destroy the device that sends him back, could possibly send him back to Duck World to stop the Dark Overlords of the Universe. And I'm just now realizing that I've been talking about the Howard the Duck for like over a decade. And
Yeah, you have. But here's, how would you have fixed that movie?
Well,
You're given plot, right? You're given characters and you're given situations, and you could have, I mean, it sounds like splitting it into two movies could have definitely helped.
I think that's step one. I think step two is like, am I going to make it in 1986 or am I going to make it today? I guess is my question.
It would be today. It'd be today because now you have the technology to stick a small person in a suit.
Okay. So I think what I'm going to do is
he wouldn't even need to be in the suit. He'd just have dots all over him. Yeah. It could be his own voice.
Yeah. You get Peter Dinklage to do Howard the Duck. That's step one.
It could be Willow. There's plenty of other, because the guy who played Willow, like there's plenty of people.
Well, I think Warwick Davis would be a fantastic Howard the Duck. Don't get me wrong. But I think Peter Dinklage is my Howard the Duck because he plays depressed so well in Game of Thrones. Like he kind of has he can definitely play a sort of very low, like beaten down character.
Okay.
It's the Safdie brothers direct it. It's a collaboration between A24 and the Marvel studios.
Okay.
So, and it all takes place in one night.
Okay.
It's Howard the Duck getting progressively more and more drunk and like fighting his villains, even though he doesn't want to. And none of the fights are like highly choreographed. They're not like John Wick style.
Okay.
They're like kind of like they're these big villains just kicking the shit out of a duck. And it's very hard to watch. Like it's like you're like, oh, man, like, please stop.
I think you just turned this into Leaving Las Vegas.
100%. Yeah, it's Leaving Las Vegas. It's Leaving Las Vegas. That's what you make. And then at the very end, he's about to kill himself, and then Spider-Man shows up. End of movie.
End of movie, because Spider-Man is his friend. In the Marvel Puzzle Quest, Spider-Man asks Howard the Duck to help him because his Aunt May is dating Octavius Doc Ock. And
Doc Ock,
and Spider-Man thinks that Aunt May has been kidnapped by Doc Ock, and Howard the Duck is like, well, did your spider sense go off? And he's like, I just need to check out Aunt May. Come with me. And his spider sense did not go off. And Aunt May is like, you're a menace. Jonah J. Jameson is right, Spider-Man. You have ruined this date. I didn't even think it was a date. And Doc Ock is like, this is a date. And so it's a lot of that.
I mean, Spider-Man is the one that stops Howard the Duck from killing himself on that aforementioned castle. Spider-Man swings in and is just like, web it, or whatever his catchphrase is. Not my Marvel guy, not my character.
Right.
He says, webby web, or whatever he does.
Right, right. He's quippy. He's a quippy guy. He's a quippy guy. He cheers up Howard. Is Howard ever, in your favorite arcs of Howard the Duck, is he ever cheerful? Is there a bright shining moment when the meds are kicking in?
I mean, unfortunately, he's not very well medicated. There are these moments kind of after the grand adventure where him and Beverly are kind of like walking away from Dr. Bong's island or whatever. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, let's go have a cigar and a drink and we'll try it again tomorrow. You know,
okay.
like the,
He's willing to give it one more day.
Yeah, he's like, today's not the day that I kill myself. So there
is that. And yeah. What? So now let's talk about the. Are you aware of the appearances of Howard the Duck in the MCU, in the 30 odd movies and TV shows?
Yes, I am. I would say that this is actually a much more comics accurate Howard the Duck in their short portrayals. He's not sort of like a quippy prop, you know.
Okay.
He's definitely a prop within the context of the movies, but he is like, you know, he's drinking a martini. He's voiced by an obviously disillusioned Seth Green.
Oh, is it Seth Green?
It is. Yeah. Seth Green does the voice for him in Guardians and in Marvel's What If as well.
Okay. I did not know that that was Seth Green. Mm-hmm. That's good casting. That is actually good casting. And so I think he was in one of the stingers with the Collector. Is that
yes.
was okay. And then he's in the episode of the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was
and
in
he's
What
also
If.
Canonically. Yeah, he's also canonically in the battle at Endgame. In Endgame. He's on the
does
screen for about a
one,
half a second. Yes, he does.
Comes out of one of the circles?
Yes, he does.
Well, that is, you know, what I do enjoy about the MCU is literally how much fun they're having. Like, you
oh,
can
they're
tell
a blast.
They're having the time of their lives. And they're like, oh, you didn't like that one? Yeah, that happens with the comic books, too. Yeah, I hope you like the next one. And I know it cost $100 million. Yeah, it turns out we're printing money over here, so it can't possibly matter. And I did say that I did... And one friend who told me one of the things they didn't like about the new Ant-Man movie was that's not how quantum physics works. And I was like, wow, that's a shaky pillar to stand on, my friend. Because quantum physics, this is something I've just learned. I'm just going to let you in on it. Quantum physics, the quantum realm, is the smallest version of something, right? So in the quantum realm, you have the tiniest version of this pen. So if Ant-Man goes to the quantum realm, he can't get any bigger. He can't get any smaller. He's the tiniest version of Ant-Man that he can be. And so if he were to get bigger, he would no longer be in the quantum realm. He would be in a different realm.
I'm going to go right back to AMC and demand my $25 back.
I think I saw it for $7. But what I do love about all the movies is how much fun that they were having. Do you think that George Lucas and group had a good time making that movie?
Well, I honestly don't. I think so. I'd hope so, right? I'd hope they had fun since they bastardized the source material in a way that undoes years of hard work on Steve Gerber's part.
So your favorite thing about Howard the Duck is his depression, not how he handles it. Not how
I would say, yeah, a little bit. It's not just that. I like that, you know, with Donald Duck or Daffy Duck, and just generally anthropomorphized animals, just kind of overarching. They're not really allowed to have feelings on a spectrum. Like Daffy Duck's always kind of pissed off, so is Donald Duck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what
right.
if
ducks seem to be angry. This seems to
yeah,
be a
Yeah, they
theme
seem to be
ducks.
Very angry.
Right.
Okay. And Howard the Duck gets angry for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I would say it's just like in a time when comic book characters weren't really allowed to be, pun intended, three-dimensional.
Right.
Like, he was able to kind of break that mold, right? And finally, at a time when, you know, people had been reading comic books since they were children in the late 1950s, early 1960s, these people were aging up and learning things about themselves in their early 20s or mid-20s or early 30s or whatever. And they mm-hmm. wanted something that maybe reflected not so much of a childlike innocence. You know what I mean? Somebody that has feelings and doesn't see the world in a black and white like most comic book superheroes do.
Okay, so it is more complex and it feels like it has a lot of potential, I think, the Howard the Duck character.
100%. Right? But he will never be. I honestly don't think they'll ever touch it again.
The movie.
The character in a full feature length. I mean, look, is it my dream to write a Howard the Duck movie? 100%.
Okay.
Do I think that will ever happen? No.
Well, because he could easily be in team up kind of things. Like he could show up and win, you know, Captain uh-huh. America and Winter Soldier.
Yes.
That would be actually hilarious if he did such a thing.
Yeah.
And and I know that I have read different Howard the Duck iterations, like different comic book arcs. And some of them I think would make really good movies, you know, like where he is a detective, where he is where he has sort of girlfriend problems, or you know, where he shows up to help Iron Man, and Iron Man is like, I feel like I'm still drinking. I don't know why there's a duck here, and but it would be. Did you ever see, okay, I have Googled a thing called the 10 greatest comic storylines of Howard the Duck. Mm. So the Thief of Bag Mom, that's where he's in Baghdad? What's happening?
Yeah, well, this is yet another dark side of Howard the Duck. There is a lot of, let's call them insensitive characters.
Oh, it's racially insensitive?
I would say it's a little racially insensitive. There's a lot of the, you know, is
1973, right? Where people were, first of all, dumber, and living in their own fishbowls. And so the generalizations for women and for people of color and for gays was huge. It was just like, oh, here's another joke about a guy picking up the soap. And it's bad enough trying to listen to my albums from the 90s, much less somebody, you know, stand-up comedy from the 70s or reading a book written in the 70s. Yeah.
I mean, it just, here's something crazy. Me and my wonderful fiance were on an improv team together years ago.
Okay. Okay.
And when we watched a clip, like a video of one of our first improv sets.
Right.
From like 2015, 2014, maybe.
Okay.
And unbearable to watch. And that's not that long ago.
No, it is not that long ago. I remember, because one of my problems with early stand-up and early improv is you're just trying to get reactions. And improv, mm-hmm. quite honestly, is just because it isn't written, it is it can be a lot meaner and a lot mm-hmm. more racist and misogynistic because you're just throwing things at the wall. And I saw improv once, and it was Sean Conroy and Matt Besser, mm-hmm. maybe. And they had been doing improv for, I believe, 30 years when I saw them do it. And at no time did I feel unsafe. And it wasn't hilarious all the way through. It was interesting all the way through. But it felt like when someone put out a suggestion, when someone yelled a suggestion of some sort, it was never going to be racist or sexist or anything horrible. At the worst, it was just going to be an interesting kind of interaction of what it meant in their life, right? They had been doing it long enough that they were like, well, I don't have to, I'm okay with the silence. I'm okay with the interest. I'm okay with the, and so when you first start doing, and granted, these are comic books that were written and published and by people who had been doing it for dozens of years. So when you reread something like the Bag Mom of the Howard the Duck one, right? The Howard is the thief of Bag Mom. Is it just a lot of like Arab stereotypes and stuff?
Stereotypes, imagery. It's if I'm not mistaken, this is the one that's kind of an allusion to Arabian Nights.
Oh, okay.
The classic tale.
Yes.
But yeah, that happens a lot. In Howard the Duck, and probably, you know, in all comic books, just in general from that time period.
Right. And that was a Steve Gerber one though, right?
That was a Steve Gerber one. Now, Steve Gerber was definitely, you know, he had a lot of things going on that weren't great. You know,
oh,
like
really? Is he hard to love? Is it good that he's dead and you can just like the ones that you like?
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
He might not even be dead.
Do great
I don't
on
know.
Twitter. He is dead. He died in 2008. I cried.
I didn't kill him, so I wouldn't know. So.
Wait, hold on. That seems like you really denied this murder.
I did just deny that murder while also admitting I might have killed others. I have not. There's been no murders. But I only know of the people that I killed. So.
Okay, but you haven't killed anybody, like you just said.
I haven't killed anybody, right. And I would know, though, right?
Yeah, but if you had, it wouldn't be Steve Gerber.
It would. Well, we were not in the same circles. So
you couldn't track him down.
No. And I haven't murdered anybody. I didn't know them. So, I would have pulled a wallet, you know, I would have rolled the body. I'm not, you know, if you're going to roll,
Jesus.
If I'm going to murder somebody, I'm also going to pick up all of the treasure that was on that person.
It's, well, you gotta loot. I mean, if you're not going to loot, then why murder?
Right. If you're going to murder, you got to loot. So, if you're going to rape, you got to pillage. What? Don't go viral. Don't go viral. Okay. So what are your favorite, Is it the depiction? It seems to be that the depiction of Howard the Duck, rather than anything he does, is your favorite
it's,
thing
it's
about Howard
more
the
just
Duck.
The fact that, like, with, you know, I really think it's funny to defend Howard the Duck, first off. I really do believe that at my core. I know it started as a bit, right? I know
yep.
that.
Yep.
But now the bit has kind of won, right? Because... Like, I genuinely do love the character, but at its core, I just do think Howard the Duck is just a very funny thing to talk about.
Well, because the
years
next
ago,
one... Yes, go ahead.
No,
years
go
ago.
Ahead. Go ahead.
No,
years
what?
Ago, when the Meltdown was still open, mm-hmm. and I would go and do the open mic that Kyle used to host.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Clark is rad. I have not seen him in years, unfortunately. But he, whenever I did get lucky enough to be drawn, it was a 3-minute mic. And whenever I got the light, I would stop talking for about 5 seconds. And then I go, I have about 55 seconds left to talk about Howard the Duck. And then I would kind of just spout random facts for the last minute of my set. Every time I got up, every single time I got up, I would do this at the Meltdown.
Because it was funny every seventh time.
It was funny none of the times. I did it just
for
me.
The third time, the 11th time, the 22nd time. It was occasionally funny.
It crushed in my mind every time.
How about the one where Howard the Duck is in the ring? It's a Steve Gerber one. He's a wrestler, and he fights a man mountain called the Goat. Did
yeah.
you ever read that one?
Probably. Okay, so here's the other thing. I used to work in dispensaries and smoke a ton of weed. As if it were my job, I smoked weed.
I can't say that I'm shocked. I can't say.
What?
Right, how long have you not been smoking weed? It seems like you're coming out of it.
About a year and a half now. It's
yeah,
been about a year and a half since I quit smoking weed.
It's going to take a second for
yeah.
all those synapses to refire. We're going to have you back on. And it's going to be Howard the Duck. Heart duh. And duh. And duh with the duck. And I say 3.5 years from now, we're going to talk Howard the Duck again. And you're going to be like, no, I read them all. I read them all and I'm there. You're going to talk faster. It's going to be amazing. Gerard Dean Peters. I'm Jackie Cation. You're Gerard Dean Peters. It's been an hour, by the way. We have been talking great. About Howard the Duck for an hour. And if people want to follow you, it's GDP Comedy, Gerard Dean Peters Comedy, on the Instagram. The name of the podcast with Kayla Rosenberg is Fuck, Marry, Kill Me Pod. So it's FMK Me Pod. And that's on Instagram. And this will come out in a couple of weeks. I don't know where you're doing stand-up or where you're performing in April, but you could tell people or if you have a website.
So this summer, look out, because I do basically 3 shows every summer called Detective Sandwich.
Excellent.
Classically in a backyard in Silver Lake. The lineups Finally. Are not set. I have not built a stage yet. I have nothing prepared.
But look forward to getting more information on Instagram.
Yes. Probably around the time this comes out, I will have a more accurate thing. But yeah, check out Detective Sandwich. Kayla will probably be on every single one. And so will my lovely wife, Rena Hunter.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?